So now, without further ado, let's move on to optimizing your upper GI tract. And when I talk about the GI tract, I'm talking gastrointestinal, gastro referring to the stomach, and intestinal, of course, referring to the intestine. So today we're going to review the structure and function of the upper GI tract, the physiology of the upper GI tract. How does it work? How does it do what it does? And why is that important to you? How do you know when something's gone wrong? This is what most people want to know. It's like, why am I gassy or bloated, or why does my stomach burn? And then finally, what you really want to know is, how do I correct what's wrong? It's my belief that when you understand the underlying process, at least on a basic level, it's much easier for you to stick with the program that helps you to correct it. So your digestive tract has three main functions. This is what it does. This is its whole purpose in life. One is to digest the food. Break down the food into molecules your body can use. Your body can't use a piece of broccoli or a hunk of meat. It can't use it that way. It has to be broken down into molecules your body can use. And these are what's called, we call nutrients, macronutrients and micronutrients. The other piece of it is absorption. It's one thing to break those foods down into a molecule that the body can use, but if you can't actually transport it from the intestinal tract and into the body, it's not going to be of very much use for you. So they have to be absorbed. And then finally, whatever your body can't use needs to be eliminated from the body. And all three of these are equally important. In order for you to be healthy, you need to have strong digestion in all of these pieces, not just some. So there's really two kinds of digestion. One is the mechanical digestion, where your food is actually physically, mechanically ground into small pieces. And then the chemical digestion, where the larger food molecules that have been broken down mechanically are broken down further into tiny molecules by enzymes. The importance of enzymes in this whole process. So let's take a quick look at the different parts of the system, and then we'll talk about what can go wrong and how you can correct whatever feels like it's going wrong with you right now. So your mouth is the gateway, right? It's the entryway. You can keep stuff out or take stuff in. And it has saliva inside to moisten the food and teeth to mechanically break it down. But you've also got these three salivary glands. And you've got the tongue, which just pushes the food down. And there's a really important little flap here called the epiglottis. I'll show you that in a minute. So real quick, I don't want to get too technical on you. I just want you to see what's really happening when you're swallowing food. The green is the bolus of food. It's in your mouth. Your tongue pushes it back down further towards your throat. As it gets towards your throat, there's a little flap at the top of your windpipe, also called your larynx, which goes into your lungs, by the way. And it closes so the food doesn't go down into your lungs. Smart body, eh? We wouldn't want that to happen. And it starts to go towards that. So as the food passes by down the back of your throat, it forces the epiglottis to close over the windpipe to protect you. And then the food makes its way down, 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 down the esophagus until it reaches the stomach. And the esophagus is a muscular surface. It contracts the food down. It doesn't just fall down. You can be standing on your head and still be able to digest your food. And the trachea, which sits in front of the esophagus, needs to be protected from food going down it. And I don't know if you've ever had the experience of the food going down the wrong pipe and you start choking, and your body is naturally going to keep choking and choking until it pushes it up, because you really don't want a piece of broccoli going down your lungs. As healthy it is if it goes down your digestive tract, not good if it goes down your lungs. Next, we move on to the stomach. And your stomach has very, very, very important work to do. First of all, it's the only place in your body that receives food in its kind of native state. When the food falls down into your stomach, it's mostly undigested, except for maybe a little bit of partially digested starch. If you eat starch, that gets begun to be digested in your mouth by the function of salivary amylase, an enzyme that's found in your saliva. So your stomach has all this muscular wall, and it starts to like a washing machine, and it's churning, you know, it's trying to churn it around, trying to break the food down further. But like I said, no teeth. So it's breaking it down via the function of stomach acid, which breaks down the food. Okay. Now, if you don't have strong stomach acid, you're going to see a lot of big particles of food ending up coming out the other end in your poop. So the stomach is charted to begin the protein of both protein and minerals. Doesn't do much with fat. It doesn't do much with starch. It just really focuses on protein and minerals, and it churns the food down and tries to get it broken down as much as possible. But it's got some other important functions, like making intrinsic factor, which escorts B12 into your blood. If you don't have intrinsic factor, if you have poorly functioning stomach, you don't make intrinsic factor, and you're just not going to get your B12 absorbed. It happens to a lot of people. Your stomach also secretes something called pepsinogen, which is a precursor to the enzyme pepsin, which breaks down the proteins. And pepsinogen is the inactive form of the protein, and it only becomes activated in the presence of hydrochloric acid. The other thing that the stomach does, and part of this is due to the function of hydrochloric acid, is that it kills pathogens in the food. So again, if you don't have a really strong stomach acid, a lot of the pathogens, meaning bad bugs, bacteria, viruses, parasites, funguses, yeasts, molds, can make their way further down your digestive tract. And then the other thing the stomach does is it gives everybody else a nudge, like, hey, it warns them through chemical processes and through hormonal processes, which we don't really have to get into at this level, but it warns and signals, hey, coming through, we got food coming on down, get ready. But let's talk about some of the things the stomach secretes. And this is meant to be an overview for you to have you understand this, not to memorize it necessarily unless you plan to go into a physiologic field or teach other people. But it's good to understand it, because when you understand it, you have a sense of what's going on. And when something's going wrong, you may be able to pinpoint it much more easily on your own. First of all, we have the mucus. And the mucus cells in the stomach produce this to protect the lining from the acids and also from dangerous things in your food that could be caustic and grating. Next, we have gastrin, which is a hormone that gets secreted by the epithelial cells, which is the surface cells. This stimulates acid production. And next, we have your acid, which is stimulated by the parietal cells. And the acid actually activates protein and mineral digestion. It's really critical to having strong bones and hair and nails and just a general function that rely on you having active, good mineral and protein stores. Next, we have pepsinogen. And pepsinogen is actually the precursor to the enzyme that makes the protein digestion happen. And it's activated by acid, and then that gets changed into pepsin. So you may have heard pepsin. The next thing that the stomach secretes is intrinsic factor. We mentioned that earlier, and that is escorting B12 from the stomach down to the lower part of your small intestine called the ileum, where it's absorbed. And finally, we have ghrelin, which is the hunger hormone. It's secreted by the cells in your stomach when it detects, hey, we need more fuel. And beauty of ghrelin is that it can also stimulate growth hormone, which is wonderful for growth and repair. So all of these are major players in what the stomach does for you. It's kind of cool. It does this all behind the scenes. It would be kind of scary if we had to remember to do all these things, wouldn't it, consciously? So let's look briefly at the pancreas and some of the enzymes that are produced to help your food break down. So the pancreas produces enzymes that chemically break down the food, the starches, the proteins, the fat, and it starts helping with the breakdown of fat-soluble vitamins. Then those would be your E, A, K, and D. Okay, and the names of these enzymes are proteases, amylase, and lipase. And they're not the names per se, they're the categories. So there's several hormones, there's several enzymes in the protease category, amylase, and lipase category. It also produces bicarbonate. You know, in your kitchen, baking soda, that is a neutralizing. That's a very alkaline substance, and it produces that to neutralize the contents of the stomach as it comes into the intestine, so that the acids don't injure the lining of the small intestine. So the activity of these enzymes is best at a higher pH, like around 8, versus the stomach, which has a pH of around 2. So it needs more of the acidic environment. The pancreas secretes juices into the duodenum, and it has other functions that are not necessarily related to digestion, such as producing insulin and glucagon to regulate your blood sugars.